Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf hey, and we're holding 5-6 lines from the bottom of the Yomud, where the Gemara quotes from our Mishnah, V'she'ena Gavoya Asora Tvachim. The major focus until now had been on the height of the sukkah, that if the schach was lamala me esrim amma, we had a machloikis in the Mishnah, whether that sukkah is kosher or not. But now we're focusing on halacha number 2. What happens if you have a short sukkah? Short that it's eina gavoya asara tvachim. The schach is lower than 10 tvachim from the ground. 10 tvachim is a very, very, very short sukkah. If, assuming that you hold that a tefach is 4 inches, we're talking about 40 inches. 40 inches, that would be 3 feet 4 inches. Wow, very short. Anyway, as long as it's 10 tvachim or higher, you're okay. But if it's less than 10 tvachim, you're in trouble. Preiti mara minolan, where do you get the shiur of the 10 tvachim from? Maybe the shiur should be 12 tvachim, 9 tvachim. What's up is 10 tvachim? Is it mar rav v'rab chanina v'rab yoichanan v'rab chaviva masnu? The following 4, rav v'rab chanina, that's one pair. Rav Yochanan and Rav Chaviva is a second pair. They all taught the following. Now there's a parenthetical in the... Yeah, I'm sorry?
I'm sorry. Where are you? I didn't really get your instructions on. Where are we?
Dalid Amid Beis. Dalid Amid Beis. We are now 4 lines from the bottom of the Amid. Dalid Amid Beis. No problem.
Right.
So the Gemara is telling us now that these 4 great rabbis, Rav and Rav Chanina, for Rav Yochanan and Rav Chaviva, all said the following. Now you have to divide them into pairs, meaning you have Rav Chanina, there being presumably two chavrusis learning together, and Rav Yochanan and Rav Chaviva, and then the Gemara interjects, one second, the kula seder moed kolki haizuga chilufei Rav Yochanan umi aile Rav Yonasan. There were others that said that this is a mistake. It's not Rav Yochanan and Rav Chaviva, it's Rav Yonasan and Rav Chaviva. Okay? So, when the Gemara says, V'kula Seder Moed, it means to say, this is not the lone time that we find this in Shas, we find this elsewhere as well, where the Gemara feels that it's not really Rav Yochanan, it's Rav Yonasan. But Lamaisa, what did they say? What they said was that the height of the Oroin, including the Kapoiris, was 10 Tvachim tall. Says the Gemara, Oroin Tisha, the Oroin itself was 9 Tvachim tall. Kapoiris was the thickness of a Tefach. And therefore together, Harikan Asara. So you have that the Oroin together with the Kapoiris. The Kapoiris is the cover or the lid on top of the Oroin. Protruding from the Kapoiris were the 2 Kruvim, as the Torah spells out. But forgetting about the Kruvim for a moment, just talking about the height of the Oren and the height of the Kapoiris, together that was 10 Tvachim. Now, how do I know that it was 10 Tvachim? Because it says about the Oren, V'ama v'chetzi k'imosai. Ama v'chetzi means 1 Ama and a half is its height, and we're assuming at this point that the standard Amas were 6 Tvachim. So if you take 6 Tvachim and add another half an Amma, 6 plus 3 gets you to 9 Tvachim. And the Kapoiris, the Torah doesn't really spell out the thickness of the Kapoiris. And that's going to be a discussion that we're going to have in another few minutes here on the Amud Aleph. But the point is, take it for granted that the Oren was a height of Tisha, add the Kapoiris a height of 1, 1 plus 9 is 10, Hari Kanasar. Uksiv! And it says in the Pasuk, V'ne'arti l'cha sham, v'dibarti itchom me'ala kapayis. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, that the Kodesh Baruch Hu kaviyachol is going to meet Moshe Rabbeinu, v'ne'arti l'cha sham, that's going to be our meeting place, and I'm going to speak to you me'ala kapayis from on top of the kapayis. So what does that come to tell you? V'tanya Rabbi Yosi Oymet, mi'oilun l'yorda shchino l'mata. It comes to tell you that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Shoichen His Shechina here on this world, however, He never went below 10 Tvachim from the ground. Because 10 Tvachim from the ground is considered to be still part of the ground. It's considered to be an extension of the earth. And the Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he comes down, again, Kaviyochu, Kadosh Baruch Hu goes down, he never enters that final 10 tefach ear space from the ground till the top of that 10 tefach. And the reason for that is because that's considered to be a rishus bifnei atzmoi. And that's why the Gemara is learning, as we will conclude in another couple of moments, that when you're talking about the height of a sukkah, the minimum has to be 10 tefachim, because that is a mechitza and rishus bifnei atzmai. And the Gemara continues, V'le'olu Moshe v'Eliyahu l'Maroin, Moshe Rabbeinu and Eliyahu HaNavi never went all the way up to Shemayim, because that's also a rishus bifnei atzmai. Shenema, like it said in the Pasuk, HaShemayim Shemayim LaShem, the heavens belong to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'oretz Nasal Bnei Adam, and the land he gave us down below that we should populate and that we should own and we should do our business here. And therefore, says the Braisa, V'lo Yarda Shechina, is it the Braisa or it's these four great sages, Rav Reb Chanin, Rav Yochanan, Rav Chaviva, or maybe not Rav Yochanan, Rav Yoinesen, what did they continue saying based on these limudim, on these psukim? That Shekhinah never went below 10 tvachim. The Shekhinah always stopped at the top of the oroin and the kapoiras. Freitimora, azay, is that true? Voksev, I have another pasuk. Vayir Hashem al Har Sinai, at the time of Matan Torah, Kodesh Baruch Hu came all the way down to Har Sinai, and Parshim Pshat means that the Kodesh Baruch Hu's legs, Kaviyachu, not that the Kodesh Baruch Hu has legs, but the Kodesh Baruch Hu went all the way down to Har Sinai. So you see that he even went lemata me'asorah tvachim. Says Yimara, it's true that the Kodesh Baruch Hu came down to Har Sinai, because that's what it says in the Pasuk, but it was nevertheless lemala me'asorah tvachim. It was higher than 10 tvachim from the ground. The Kodesh Baruch Hu never, in a sense, let his feet down below the 10 tvachim. Kodesh Baruch Hu was always on top, higher than the 10 tvachim. V'hoksiv, aye, there's another pasuk, the omdu ragla b'yoimahu al har hazesim, that on that day meaning Yemoisa Mashiach or Olam Haba, then there's going to be a big melchoma on Yerushalayim, the Osed Lovai, and it says that the Kodesh Baruch Hu is going to be shochein his raglav, his legs, again, Kaviyochel, B'yoimahu al har hazesim, on Har HaZesim, and therefore it sounds like all the way down below. Once again, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is never shoychin his shechina lemata mi'asaret tvachim. So all of these references to Hashem lowering himself, kaviyochel, down to this world, always means lemata mi'asaret tvachim. So just stopping here for a short moment, what the Gemara therefore is telling us is that when you're talking about any type of machitza, any type of structure, then the minimum dimensions have to be 10 tefachim, because that's deemed to be a rishus bifnei atzmoi, and that's why Kodesh Baruch Hu says, stop, I'm not going to lower the shechina below the 10 tefachim, but the 10 tefachim, that is a choshev rishus. Since that's a choshev rishus, now when we are trying to figure out what's the minimum size and height of a sukkah, the minimum has to be that 10 tvachim, because that's where we find in the Torah this concept of the minimum rishus, where Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyachu doesn't go beyond that, doesn't go below that, because that's part of the Oretz Nasal of Ne'od. Zog the Gemara Vaita, V'olu Moshe v'Eliyahu l'Maroin, you're telling me Moshe Rabbeinu did not go up to the Shemayim, or Eliyahu HaNavi, v'ksiv says in the Pasuk, U'Moshe Ola Elu Elikim. As we know, Moshe Rabbeinu went upstairs to Shemayim. In fact, he went up to receive the Torah, and he was there, Arbarim Yoim, Arbarim Laila. So what do you mean he didn't go up? Says the Gemara, Lemata Miasar. It was below 10 Tvachim. Now here we don't mean below 10 Tvachim from the ground, because below 10 Tvachim from the ground means he didn't go up at all. It means lower than 10 Tvachim from the Shemayim. So therefore, the Gemara now is doing is introducing another concept. What the Gemara is telling us is that just like you have this ear space of 10 tvachim lemala min ha'aretz, 40 inches approximately, 3 feet and 4 inches higher than the ground, until that point is aretz, the Shekhinah doesn't go below that point, The Shekhinah only goes above that point, because the land has an extension of 10 tefachim. So too, when you go up to Shemayim, below the Shemayim you have a 10 tefachim ear space, where Bnei Adam don't go in. That's all part of a Kadosh Baruch Hu Shemayim, and a further extension of 10 tefachim. So although Moshe went up, he didn't go all the way up to pierce into the heavens themselves, but he was below 10 tefachim, which was that added buffer zone, if you will, which was attached to the Shemayim. Thank you, more Baksim, but there's another pasuk, V'yal Elio Basa'ora HaShemayim. Oh, Elio Anovi did go up to the Shemayim. Again, Lamata Mi'asara, all the way to Shemayim he couldn't, because like the pasuk says, HaShemayim Shemayim LaHashem, Shemayim belongs solely and exclusively to Hashem. V'oritz Nasa L'Bnei Adam, and the land belongs exclusively to Bnei Adam, because the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it as a present. After he created it, he gave it as a present to Bnei Adam. So, that Shemayim has the additional buffer zone of the 10 Tvachim, and the Oritz has the 10 Tvachim. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shekhinah Kaviyachol doesn't go below those 10 Tvachim, and we, when we go up to Shemayim, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu, Eliyahu HaNavi, those that are Zochet to go up to Shemayim, they cannot go into Shemayim itself, they cannot even go within that buffer zone, they are lower than those 10 Tvachim attached to the Shemayim up above. Frank Mavaksib, I have another Pasuk, and this Pasuk is a Pasuk in Eiv, and it says in the Pasuk, Me'aches Pnei Kisei, Parshes Olav Anonai. Now, Parshat Pshat, this Pasuk is not referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, however, the Gemara Masechta Shabbos interprets it, at least al Pidrush, that this is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. What is this Pasuk referring to? There the Gemara says in Daf Peches, that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Shemayim to receive the Torah from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Malachim started protesting, and they said, no, leave the Torah up here. HaKadosh Baruch Hu said back to Moshe Rabbeinu, no, hachzer lehem tshuva, give them an answer. And Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm afraid to answer them. Misyore ani, shem yisrafuni, behevel shebethiem. These malachim are all srafim, the chayis hakodesh. Srafim, they are fiery angels. I'm afraid if I open my mouth, they might just go and burn me just in the dialogue. As soon as they open their mouths, fire is going to come out that's going to consume me. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, you know what? You have a good point. Go and be ma'aches p'nei kisei. Hold on to my kisei hakavoid, and then answer them. Once you're holding on to my kisei hakavod, that'll be a shmira that you won't chas v'sholom get burnt. Now, the kisei hakavod is obviously up in Shemayim. Now the question is, how is it possible that Moshe Rabbeinu was holding on to it? If you're telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu is lower than tvachim, than the 10 tvachim buffer zone, which is immediately below the Shemayim, obviously the kisei hakavod is higher than those 10 tvachim. Is Frank Timur Baksiv is in the Pasuk, Mi'acheis Pnei Kisei. Hold on to the Kisei, Parshes Olav Anonoi. Now, what means Parshes? That's a very unique word. Mi'omereb Tanchum, Lamit Shepirish Shakai Biziv Shchinosoi, Va'anonoi Olav. It comes to tell you that Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kaviyachol, spread out from the shine, from the brilliance of his Shechina. Now, what is this type of Lashon? Piresh Shakai Miziv Shchinosoi, says Rashi, that is the Rosh Tevis of the word Parshes. The Parshes Olav Anonoi that they have in that Pasuk, Parshes means Pirish or Pires, that Kadosh Baruch Hu went and spread out, Shakai, Kadosh Baruch Hu, Miziv Shchinosoi, from the brilliance, from the majesty, from the shine of his Shechina, and Anonoi, and from his clouds, Olav on Moshe Rabbeinu to protect him from the fiery angels. But once again, you're telling me that Moshe Rabbeinu is holding on to the Kisei HaKavod. How could that be? Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get all the way up there. So what it means, again, Lamat Mi'asara, not all the way in Shemayim, but below the 10 Tvachim buffer zone, immediately below the Shemayim. How can you say that? Ma'achas b'nei Kisei k'sid. It says that he was holding on to the Kisei HaKavod, and the Kisei HaKavod wasn't so low. Says Yimor, Ishtar Vuvei, Ishtar Vavlei Kisei, Adasara, V'Nokatbei. Kadosh Baruch Hu did a favor for Moshe Rabbeinu to protect him from the Malachim, and therefore Ishtavu v'Yishtarvu means that Kadosh Baruch Hu lowered the Kisei HaKavod Ad Asara until it reached that 10 Tvachim point. And then Kadosh Baruch Hu said, okay, Moshe Rabbeinu, stretch out your hands and hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. So Kadosh Baruch Hu did a toiva, lowered the Kisei HaKavod low enough so Moshe Rabbeinu would be able to hold on to it, even though Moshe Rabbeinu is still below the 10 Tvachim, which were the buffer zone attached to the Shemayim above. With this, we've concluded that discussion, and what we see clearly is that the minimum for a machitza and the minimum for the height of a sukkah has to be at least 10 Tvachim because of the psukim that we learned by Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Kodesh Baruch Hu says, when he added to Lecho Sham, the Dibarti Itchom the Allah Kapoiris, Moshe Rabbeinu, I'll speak to you from on top of the Kapoiris. Why not lower than that? Because that Rishus is a Dabar Choshev, if you will, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has added as a buffer zone, as an extension of the land down below. It's a minimum of 10 Tvachim, 9 Tvachim, Orain, 1 Tefach for the Kapoiris, 10 altogether. It's a Freit Imar. Bishlim Orain Tisha Dichsib, it says Beferish in the Pasuk. V'yasu aroin atzei shitim, amasayim v'cheitzi arka, v'yam v'cheitzi rachvay, v'yam v'cheitzi kamasai. The pasuk is very, very explicit that the height of the orain was amma v'cheitzi. Amma, as we know, is 6 tvachim. Cheitzi is a half of 6, is 3 tvachim. 6 plus 3 gets you to 9 tvachim. So that's what the Gemara says, b'shloim orain tisha. It says, Amma v'chitzi kamasai. And the kapoiris tefach minolan. How do you know that kapoiris is a tefach? The Torah only tells us the dimensions of the kapoiris in terms of their length and width, but not in terms of its thickness, in other words, its height. Minolan, how do I know? The Tanir b'chanina kolakilim sh'osem Moshe nitna ben toiras midas orkon umidas rachman umidas kimoson. If you look through the parshiyos of Truma and Tetzave, etc., you'll see that the Torah enumerates every one of the kelim in the Mishkan, whether it's the Shulchan, whether it's the Oroin, etc., etc. And each time the Torah tells us the midas orkon, the length and the width and the height, just like we had now by the Oroin, where the Torah tells us, Amasayim v'chitzi orkoi, amvachitzi rochvoi, amvachitzi kamosoi, and you have the same thing by the shulchan, for instance. But the kapoiris midas orkoi midas rochva nitna. That it does say the midas kapoiris, and the midas kapoiris in terms of the length and the width was the same as that of the orain, bearing in mind that the kapoiris was like a cover to a box. It was like a lid on top of the orain. So therefore the Oyrech and Roichav had to be basically the same. But the Koyim Amidus Kemosel like Nitna, I don't know how thick the Kapoidus was. After all, a cover, a lid for a box, or the lid for the top of a pot can be, you know, a quarter of an inch, a half an inch, 2 inches, 3 inches. It all depends on how you construct it. So I don't know how tall the Kapoidus was. So Freytimor, how do I know? Says Imara, since I don't know, I'm going to learn it from a mamatzino. In other words, let's look at other kelim and let's see whether we can learn one from the other. Tzei ulamad mipachashiv kelim. Let's go and learn from the smallest of the kelim, shenemar, vasisalei mizgeres toifach soviv. This is referring to the shulchan, and it says about the shulchan that you're supposed to make a mizgeres. Mizgeres is basically like a frame that you put around the edges of a table. You can have a frame at the edges, for instance, of a tray, to make sure that the food doesn't fall off the table, to make sure that nobody, by accident, pushes the challah off the table, pushes the plates off the table. You have a frame around it. And that frame, how tall was it? It says in the Pasuk, Sisloi Mizgeres, Toifach Sovev. Toifach meaning it was the height of a tefach. So just like Mal Halon, there the Torah tells us Befedrish that the Mizgeres was a tefach. Afkan tefach, the same thing over here. You learn the halacha of the kapoitis on top of the Oroin from the Mizgeres that was on the sides and on the top of the Shulchan. Frank Timara, Why are you learning it from the Pachasha Mekevim, meaning the Mezgeres? Why don't you learn from the Shulchan itself, or from the Oren itself, to go and tell you that perhaps it was as tall as Yechweis and Amma Vachetzi Kamasai, say that it too was also 9. Learn from the Oren itself. After all, the Kapoyis is on top of the Oren. Why are you going to the Shulchan and learning from the Mezgeres? Learn from Mekeli. It doesn't have to be any worse than Mekelim Gufai. It doesn't have to be the Oren. It means any other of the Kelim, as opposed to the Mezgeres, which is really not a Kli. It's really an accessory to the Kli. It's almost like ornamental. It's not totally ornamental. It has usage, but it's an accessory to the Kli as opposed to the Kli itself. So, this is a Talmudic rule that you have throughout Shas, that any time that you're trying to go and learn a halacha from somewhere else, after all, it doesn't say anywhere that we're supposed to learn the kapoiris from Dafka the Mezgeres, or from any other one of the Kalim. However, if you want to learn something from somewhere else, you can only take the minimum, you cannot take the maximum. The reason why you can't take the maximum, says Rashi, is because who says that you're allowed to go and take the maximum? If you take the minimum, then yesh b'chlal mosayim mana. If you're going to go and tell me that the kapoiris is 1 tefach, that's okay, because 1 tefach was the mizgeres, and all of the kelim included at a minimum 8 tefach plus. So if you go and hop on, you go and grab a tefach and say, this is the appropriate amount, the appropriate size for the kapoiris, okay, you don't look like a liar, says Rashi. However, if you're going to go and say, no, the kapoiris may have been 5 tvachim, or 10 tvachim, or 12 tvachim. Where do you take that from? You have no right to go and create your own ideas about the construction. And therefore, Rashi says, he looked like a chakra. Now, for purpose of our Gemara, it's quite an easy concept. However, Rashi goes to some length, because Rashi wants to really articulate what is this concept of tefasta meruba loy tefasta. So why don't we take a quick look at the Rashi, because this comes up many times in Shas. In fact, in our blot today, it's going to come up 3 times, as you'll see in Mi'at Hashem. So looking at the Rashi, 6-7 lines from the top of the Amud Tevasta Meruba is a Rashi. Kol dover shemashmo'oi meruba umuat. Anytime you have in the Torah a word where you could interpret it, meruba, with large dimensions or a large number, umuat, or you can also interpret it smaller dimensions. Em tefasta samuet yofa tefasta. If you're going to grab means if you're going to interpret this unknown word by using the small quantity, then you've done well. Yofa tefasta, you've grabbed well. Tebatzmi hachi lemashma, because since you've grabbed the lowest, it cannot be lower than that because that's the smallest number. V'yamim tishahoyu lechalitvay samaruba. If it turns out that you were mistaken and that you should have taken the larger number, then that's fine. So then they're adding. Nobody's taking back from you and saying, oh, you're a ganeth. You stole. You used something you should not have. All they're doing is saying, you could have taken more, and we're going to be moisif. However, but if you're going to go and chap the larger number, loy tefasta, you had no right to do that. You look like a liar. Who gave you the permission? Who gave you the authority to take the larger number? Maybe your authority is limited to the lower number. It's as if you're a ganav. If you're still stealing more than you're entitled to. They're going to have to take away from what you have in your hand. They're going to say, Mister, give back what you took. Behind the loyta fasta, and therefore what you have grabbed, you have not grabbed legally and with the full authority, because you only had the right to take the smaller amount. Avo, so Rashi concludes, kishetitpois hamuot, if you take the smaller amount, em yosifu toiv, if they're going to add, that's great, v'imlav, and if they say, no, what you took is exactly the right amount, so masha tefasta tefasta, so what you grabbed was great. And says Rashi, Moshehu, all of this is Mesholim. In other words, we're talking about you grabbed bigger and grabbed smaller, and it's a chakra, and you're lying. This is only a derech of a Moshe, like a parable. What he's telling us is, that this is one of the rules of biblical interpretation. That when you're interpreting any pasuk in the Torah, and you need guidance from another pasuk, take the minimum, don't take the maximum. Because the minimum is always included in the maximum. Yesh b'chlal nesayim mana. Worst comes to worst, we're going to add. However, if you took too much, we're going to say, hey, mister, how do you grab so much? You have to give something back. That's why you have this rule. So bottom line is, we wanted to know, could the kapoitis be the size of a tefach, just like the mizgeris, or should it be something larger like the kelim themselves? Says the Gemara, tefasta, mu'a tefasta. Right, Gemara, based on that, the nail of mitzitz, why don't we learn from the tzitz, which is what the Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead? Somebody asking a question?
Yeah, Rabbi, sorry to interrupt. So the analogy makes a lot of sense if we're talking about dessert. You know, don't take more than should be yours. But here, if we're not taking enough, you've created a leniency on all sorts of, you know, on how big the sukkah can be. And you're not really taking for yourself, of course. You're trying to get the right number for what the minimum sukkah should be. So I'm not sure I understand the, you know, don't take too much, which again, it makes more sense to me for dessert than for the height of the sukkah.
Or even for the main course. Right. No, well put. That's why Rashi stresses at the end, he adds that this is just a mushel. And of course, we're learning sukkah after we finished the parasha of the Oroin and the Kapoyas. But we're not learning sukkah directly from the psukim here. First, we're adapting to figure out what the minimum rishus is, and then we find out that that's the 10 tefachim, and then we go and further adapt that for purposes of the sukkah. So, in terms of the kapoyas itself, we don't know how thick or how tall the kapoyas was. We're trying to learn from a mamatzino. A mamatzino means the most basic of biblical interpretation. We're trying to find from another pasuk something similar, and then we figure, if the Torah gave that number there, then in all likelihood the same number applies here too. But since we're talking about a mamatzino, we're saying here by the case of the kapoitis, the Torah is silent, let's try to find the correct number from somewhere else. So the Gemara is telling us is, if I have a choice between two numbers from other places in the Torah, such as the Mizgeris is one tefach, and for instance, the height of the Aron is 9 tefachim. So why don't we say that the height of the Kapoitis is either 1, like the Mizgeris, or 9, like that of the Aron? Says the Gemara, that when I have a choice to take either the 1 or the 9, the Torah tells us, based on this precept, based on these rules of construction, you have to go and take the smaller amount, unless and until you hear that what you have done is inadequate and that you have to go and add. But that is preferable than taking the larger number and then finding out that you were, to use a Yiddish term, that you were a chazer and that you took too much. Don't take too much, because if you took too much, people will say, you're a shakran. Who gave you the permission to take 9 tefachim? You only had the right to go and take 1 tefach. So if you took 1 and you didn't take enough, people say, okay, he's a very humble, very modest individual in his interpretation. We're going to add, yeah, the 1 that you took, you did a great job, but that wasn't enough. Add more to it. But if you took too much, then, like Rashi says, it looks like you have taken too much. You are a liar. Who gave you that authority to take too much? And we're going to have to remove and take something back from you. So you take the minimum, and if it later turns out that you took too little, we'll add. But don't take too much, because then it looks like you're stealing or taking something to which you're not entitled. So the Gemara says, now based on that precept, upon that rule of construction, the name of me tzitz, why don't we go and learn the din of the kapoitis from the tzitz. Tzitz, as everybody knows, is what the Kohen Gadol wore on his forehead. The sign it says in the Braisa, tzitz doime kimin tas shel zohav. What did the tzitz look like? It looked like a nice tas, like a thin plate made out of gold, which was hanging on the Kohen Gadol's forehead. Verocha beis etzpois, the height of it, or the thickness of it, not the thickness, the width of it, was 2 etzpois, 2 fingers. Umukami oizen la oizen, and it went from one ear to the other ear. In other words, it covered the entire forehead from ear to ear. Because of Olav, and what was written on the tzitz, beis shitin, there were 2 lines, yud ke milmala, the kodesh lashem milmata, on the tzitzit was inscribed Kodesh LaHashem. We don't want to write the word Kodesh on top of the word LaHashem, because Hashem's name is so holy and so great, and so therefore the word Hashem is written on the top line, and the Kodesh Lamed is written on the bottom line. It would look, of course, a little bit strange to have the Hashem on top and the Kodesh Lamed on the bottom line. You know, then it looks like Hashem, Kodesh Lamed. Doesn't look like Kodesh LaHashem. So the Mefarshim go into this, not so much over here, because there's a much lengthier description about all of this in other Gemaras. We had this back in Shabbos and other places, and it says in many of the Mefarshim that the Yud Ke Vav Ke wasn't directly over the words Kodesh Lamed, but rather it was towards the left of the line, and beneath it on the next line, on the beginning of the line, on the right side of the line, was the Kodesh Lamed. So what you have to do, therefore, is picture in your mind pushing up the Kodesh Lamed from the second line to the first line, and that preceded then the Yud Kei Vav Kei. Anyway, that's what the Tanakhama says in the Braisa. Rav Lezer B'Yoisi says, the Omer Rav Lezer B'Yoisi, Ani Re'isim B'Roimi, I was in Roim. You'll recall we had this at the end of Masechtas Yuma, when Rav Lezer B'Yoisi was commenting on the Gemara about the sprinkling of the blood, Lefnei Lefnei HaKaparis inside the Kodesh Kodashim, but after that there was a discussion, Lefnei HaParoiches, inside the Kodesh, inside the Heichel, where the Gemara said that although the blood was sprinkled by the Kohen Gadol in the direction of the Paroiches, Kimatzlith, Achas V'Achas, Achas V'Shtayim, Achas V'Sholish, etc., etc., however the drops of blood didn't hit the Paroiches, but rather they fell on the floor. Rav Lezer Rav Yoisi said, I was in Rome, and I saw down below that in fact there were sprinklings of blood on the Paroiches, and I saw that they were Taka Kematzlev, going from up downwards, and then Rav Lezer Rav Yoisi in a separate price says that I saw the Paroiches, and I saw that the drops of blood were spread out all over the Paroiches, not Kematzlev. And you remember that the Gemara said at the end of Masechtas Yuma, because the first Paroiches that he saw was from the sprinklings of blood on Yom Kippur, where those were Kematzlev, and the second Paroiches that he saw is talking about a Paroiches that was in use throughout the rest of the year. We had earlier on that they used to go and, in the Sechta Shkolim, it says that they would go and switch the Paroiches typically twice a year. So you could have multiple Paroiches in, and that second Paroiches showed blood from throughout the year when they would bring the Par Helen Dovah Shel Tzibur, or the Par Koyin HaMashiach, or the Seiri Avodah Zarah, where there too those are special Kabbanis which are brought Lefnim. 99% of all the Kabbanis are brought outside in the Azara. These are special inside the Heichel, and there's no Din Kimatzlev, you just sprinkle it towards the Paroiches. Anyway, what we're trying to bring a Rai is that Rav Lezer Rav Yoisi, in fact, was in Rome, and when he was in Rome, he saw the two Paroiches in, and as we see, he also saw the Tzitz. Unfortunately, all of those were taken into Golus by our enemies at the times of the Chorban. So anyway, so bottom line is, what does Rav Lezer Rav Yoisi say? I saw Veroim, the Kosel Olav Kodesh LaShem Beshita Achas. He says that, in fact, I saw on the Tzitz, apparently there was smaller font, and the font was at Kodesh LaShem on one line, not on two lines. Okay, that was just a side point. But the important thing is that I see that the height of the Tzitz was Beis Etzpois, was two fingers. That being the case, that's approximately half of the size of the a tefach. Tefach is usually considered to be four etzbois. These are two etzbois, so it's half the size. So if we're trying to be mekayim this biblical interpretation rule that tefasta mu'et tefasta, then I should go and say that the kapoitis was only two fingers high and not a tefach of four fingers high. Says the Gemara, Don Kli Mekli Ben Don Kli Mitachshit. We're learning klishores. We're learning kalim in the base of Midosh, which we have over here the kapoitis on top of the oraim. That's a major klishores. And then, of course, you have the other klishores, in such as a shulchan, as the mizbeach, menoira, etc. So you learn one kli from another kli. So it makes sense to learn the kapoitis from the mizgeres. Ben Don Kli Mitachshit. However, here you're talking about a tachshit, meaning one of the big day kahuna, The Kohen Gadol wore this tzitz. It wasn't really a beged, even though we refer to it as the Shemoyin and the Gadol. It wasn't really a beged. It was totally ornamental, like a piece of jewelry. It was a tzitz. It's a tachshit. So we don't learn that klishar is from a tachshit that the Kohen Gadol wears. Frank, you're okay. If an elef mizar, mizer. Why don't we learn from zer? Zer means the crown, not a full-fledged crown, a coronet. It's a nice ornamental design that they had around the oroin, around the mizbeach, and around the shulchan. There was a nice crown coming up, totally ornamental. The omamar zer mashu. The size of the zer was really twice, half an inch, quarter of an inch. Nothing, no major dimensions over there. So maybe we should go and learn that the kapot is from the zer, and that's already part and parcel of the kalim. So just like you're learning from the mizgeres, which is part of the shulchan, learn from the zer, which is also part of the shulchan, oroin, and mizbech. There was a zer around all three. Evermore, don't a kli mekli, then don't a kli me hechshekli. We want to learn a kli from a kli, as opposed to a hechshekli. The zer is not really the kli itself, it's just, Rashi calls it a kishut. It's just ornamental, it makes it look pretty, it looks royal, like these are the royal clay sharis, that it has a nice little crown coming up, but it's not the kli itself. The mizgeris is the same thing, it's also not the kli itself, it's only a frame around the kli. Klihu, hefimara, miskarta lamata hoisa. This mandiyama holds that the mizgeris was below and not above. Rashi and Chumash, when we talk about the mizgeris soviv, brings the two mandiyamrim. One mandiyama holds that the mizgeris was in fact a frame around the top of the shulchan, while there's another mandiyama that tells that the mizgeris was immediately below the shulchan, and presumably it was there to give support to the shulchan so that it would strengthen it. So this is directly below the, when we say the shulchan, we mean the table part of the shulchan, where you were able to put things down on the table. Here, beneath it, there was this mizgeres to solidify it and to strengthen it. So, if you hold that the mizgeres was on top, then it would be a hechsher kli. It wouldn't be the kli itself, it's just a nice kishut, hashulchan, Rashi says. It would make it nicely, nice, beautiful, and ornamental, all the rest. When you put it underneath, then that's part of the construction of the shulchan. Then you're right, then the mizgeres was not a hechsher kli, but it's part of the construction of the kli. But if you hold the mizgeres, it's only on top. This is a hechsher kli, and the zer is a hechsher kli, and if we're therefore learning the din of the kapoitis from one of these two hechsher kelim, that we have that precept of tefasta meruba loy tefasta, tefasta muat tefasta, and therefore we should be talking about the zer being a mashahu, as opposed to talking about the mezgeris, which was a tefak. We're going to go and learn from something that the Torah specifies a midah, a measure. If you look in the Torah, it doesn't say anywhere what the shear of the tzitz is. Chazal tell us that it was two etzbois. It doesn't tell us anywhere with the size of the zer. Chazal tell us it's a mashahu. So since these two doesn't say in the Torah b'feirish, I can't learn from them. Masha'enkein, when we're learning the din of the kapoiris, there the Torah gave a midah to the kapoiris, at least the oirech and the roichav. I just want to know the koima, the height. Oh, so I'm going to learn it from the mizgeris, where there the Torah did give a midah, where it says, vasisalei mizgeris, toifach saviv. I'm going to learn our kapoiris from the case of the mizgeris, because the Torah gave a midah by both. So it makes sense to learn one from the other. And with this we've concluded the first Makoir that I know that the Kapoiris was one Tefach tall, one Tefach high. Rav Huna Amar Mihocha, I have another Raya. It says in the Pasuk, Al Pnei HaKapoiris Keima. When you're spritzing the blood, it says in the Pasuk, V'lochach Midam HaPar, V'hizu Be'etzbo'oi, Al Pnei HaKapoiris Keima, V'lefnei HaKapoiris Yad HaShev HaPamim. We have this at the end of Masechtas Yuma. So, we say, Pnei HaKapoiris, Vein Panim Pochois Mi Tefach. the punim of a person, says Rashi, even a person who happens to be a midget, or even a child or an infant, the minimum size of a face, going from the head down to the chin, the minimum is a tefach. So pnei hakapoyis came in once again to fast the merub like to fast. So we take on the shear of a tefach. Frank Gemara the Eimer ke'ape the Bar Yochni. Maybe you were talking about the size of the face of the famous Bar Yochni bird. Again, remember we had that again at the end of Masechtas Yuma. That was in connection with the din of Tumas Oichlin, where it said in the pasim kala oichel asher ye'ochel, and the Gemara said it's got to be an ochel that stems from another ochel. So that's why the Gemara said that the shear for shear of the tumas oichlin min ha'toyra is a kibeya, because the bey is an ochel and it comes from its mami, the hen, which is also an oichel. And the Gemara said, why don't we talk about the bey of a bar yochni? Bar yochni is a huge, huge bird. Rashi brings the Chazal from the Sechtes Bechoyres. If you look at the top, Rashi, Oid Godelho, Mi Oid, huge. Ube Bechoyres Amrinim, Pam Acha Seitila Bar Yochni, Beya Bim Koymeno, Vetova Shishim Krochen, Veshibra Shin Arozim. This was such a huge egg that the Bar Yochni laid an egg, and the egg came down to the earth, and it buried 60 Krochen, 60 towns, and broke 300 cedar trees. Okay, these numbers 60 and 300 are considered to be guzmois. They may not be exact, so it wasn't 60 towns, only 59 towns, or 58 towns. But the point is, it's a huge bird. Being that it's a huge bird, Freit Dimara, why don't we say that we learned the Pnei HaKapoyres from this Bar Yochni? So again, the Gemara gives the same answer, Tavasta Mulei Tavasta, Tavasta Mulei Tavasta, and therefore we're going to hop on rather the Pnei of a person with a minimum, as we said before, is one tefach, instead of this huge bird, which would be many, 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 many tefach. Fake Gemara. Oh, so you're talking about small birds. The ima ka'api de tipresa, de tzutzer tuva. Why don't we say that we're looking at the face, not of a person, and not of a bar yochni, but that of a tipresa. Tipresa is a very small bird. And this small bird, if you took its face, maybe it's only half a tefach. Maybe it's even less than that. The zutatuva. Rav Huna is not just simply saying that the word pnei means face, and let's try to find the smallest face possible. But rather he's learning gzeira shava. Ksiv ha'achel pnei ha'kapoyis. Uksiv ha'asam me'es pnei Yitzhak Aviv. Ah, and Yitzhak Aviv being a person. Being a person, then the minimum shear of a tefach by a person is a tefach, like Rashi said on the Omer Aleph, the very final Rashi. Ein ponim shul odem pechusim mitefach. We don't know. We don't have a picture today of what Yitzchak Avinu looked like, but the minimum would have been a tefach. Freikim avinelim miponim shul mala tichsev kirois bnei elikim ba'atir tseini. Now this pasuk is Yaakov Avinu addressing Esav Arasha, and he's saying to Esav, v'lakachtem in chosim miyadi, take all of these animals that I'm giving you as a present. Ki al kein re'isi fanecha kirois pnei alekim ba'atir tzeini. Now what is this kirois pnei alekim? You'll recall Rashi and Chumash says that Yaakov Avinu was hinting in a subtle way to Esav, Esav, don't start up with me and don't try to wage a war, because I already fought your sar, the sarishal Esav, the malach, that Yaakov Avinu fought with, and then afterwards he went and touched the Gid HaNoshe. You know the famous story in the Chumash. So therefore he's telling him, remember, Kirois Pnei Elikim, I saw the Pnei Elikim, I saw the Panim of the Malach. And therefore, says the Gemara, maybe it's that Panim that we're learning, Pnei HaKapoyres from Pnei Elikim. Again, says the Gemara, Tavasta Rubli, Tavasta, Tavasta Muad, Tavasta. The assumption is that the Malach's face is longer and taller and bigger than a person's face, and therefore that would be a larger face. That's why we take the face of a person. And the Gemara assumes at this point that a kruv's face, we call a kruv a cherub, but in another two lines the Gemara is going to say what kruvim really means is young infants, and therefore, says the Gemara, we are assuming that Pnei HaKruvim is smaller than a tefach. So why are you learning from Pnei Yitzhak Aviv? Learn from Pnei HaKruvim that it's less than a tefach. We have a Kabbalah, that in fact, the smallest size of the Kruvim, the smallest size of a face of Kruvim, would be not less than a Tefach, at least a Tefach. So don't tell me you're going to learn from Kruvim, because that itself is also a Tefach or more, not less. In fact, says Yimur, in fact, that's the Pnei that Rav Huna Taka learned from. We said on the Amud Aleph that Rav Huna is learning Pnei HaKapoyrus from elsewhere. You know where he's learning from? From the Pnei HaKruvim. Because we know, based on Rav Acham Yankiv's dictum, that Ein Pnei Kruvim Pchusim Itefach, that's the minimum. So we're talking not learning from Yitzchak, we're not learning from the Pnei HaLikim, we're not learning from anywhere else, we're learning from the Pnei HaKruvim. Freitimar, my Kruv, what's the definition of Kruv? Rebavo Kiravya. She came Bavel Koyren Lianuka Ravya. In Bavel, the word for tinoik meaning an infant, a baby, is ravia. Kiravia means like an infant. And therefore, the Pnei HaKruvim means that they went and sculpted beautiful figures coming out of the kapoiras, which looked like Kruvim. Kiravia, like tinoik, is like a tinoik. And since we just said now that tinoik's face is not less than a tefach, so therefore we learn Pnei, that the height of, or the thickness of the kapoiris was also tefach, just like that of kiravia, like a tenek. Omli abaye, elamiata dechsiv, pnei o echad, pnei akruv, u pnei asheni, pnei adam, hainu kruv, hainu adam. What is this all about? These are psukim in Yecheskel. If you have the Torah Ora Sholem, you'll see, ois dalid, varpo panam li echad. The pasuk is describing the face of a malach called the oifanim. We have, even in davening, we have oifan and v'chayis ha-koydish, prashkod v'misnasim. Anyway, so an oifan has four faces to it. Arbo ponim li'echad. Pnei o'echad, pnei akruv. On one side, it looks like pnei kruv. Pnei asheni, pnei oda, like a person. Vashlichi, pnei aryeh, like a lion. Varbi, pnei nesher, like an eagle. We have a similar psukim also legabe, the kisei ha-koveid, also having similar four faces. But the Gemara is asking now, obviously, the face of an Aryeh and the face of a Nesher is different than the face of an Adam. But a Kruv and an Adam are both the same, because an Adam is a person and a Kruv is a person, an infant. So aren't they the same? Why does the Torah, why does the Pasuk in Yecheskel enumerate those as if they happen to be four separate? They're really only three separate. The Pnei O'echad and Pnei Asheni are the same. Hainu Kruv, Hainu Adam. Says the Gemara, of course you're right that a Kruv is an infant and therefore will become an Odom eventually. But what the Pasuk is telling us is that the two Peinamer are different in size. This is Api Ravravi, the Api Zutra. Here you have a large face, Pnei Odom, and here the Api Kruv is a smaller face, a shorter face, Pnei Zutra. It's an Api Zutra, it's a smaller face. Frank Dimara. Okay, so now that we've basically now finally concluded the initial question that the Gemara asked, that how do we know that the minimum shear of a sukkah is 10 tefachim, that we learned from Benyadati Lecha, that a Kodesh Baruch Hu made this special reshus down below, a machitza down below, of the oroin together with the kapoitis, and we just concluded now that kapoitis is taka tefach. Either we learn it from the mizgeres, or we learn it from the pnei, like we just finished off the Pnei HaKruvim, so it's 9 plus 1, it's 10, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I don't go below that 10, I'm going to meet you when the Adzor L'choshama on top of the Kapoiris, so I see that there is this minimum Rishus called 10 Tvach. Now the question is, the 10 Tvach and Vaya Sukkah, does that include the Schach, or does that exclude the Schach? Meaning, is the Schach in the last tefach or two of the 10 tefachim that you've constructed your sukkah, it's 9 tefachim tall, and I add a layer of schach on top from 9 to 10, now it's 10 altogether? Or do I say that I'm adding the schach above 10 tefachim, so that really the schach is not from 9 to 10 tefachim from the ground, it's 10 to 11 tefachim from the ground, or of course much higher? The Gemara is assuming, based on our Mishnah, that the schach is on top of the sukkah, and that therefore the halal ha-sukkah, halal means the ear space of the sukkah, is 10 tvachim without even counting the schach. So therefore, if you add the schach, we get to the minimum of 10 and a half, 11, 12 tvachim, because we add the schach on top. Now, it doesn't say that crystal clearly in the Mishnah. If you go back to the Mishnah of Daf Beis, all it says in the Mishnah is that she'eina gavoya atzara tvachim, if the sukkah is not taller than tvachim, then it's possible. But how do I know that the 10 tvachim means the halal ha-sukkah, the ear space of the sukkah, without the schach? Maybe it means the ear space with the schach. So the Gemara really doesn't address that. However, the Mefarshim say that the Gemara assumes it because of the first case. The first case in the Mishnah was sukkah shi gavoyla malami esrim amma. And we said in the Gemara that sukkah doesn't mean that the height of the sukkah, but really mean the schach on top of the sukkah. The last Rashi in the Mishnah said, al shem haschach kriya sukkah. How did the sukkah get the name sukkah? Because it has schach on top. So therefore, when it says sukkah shi gavoyla mala, we're really talking about schach shi gavoyla mala mi esrim amma. Ah, that's possible. There's the Gemara, the she'ena gavoyin. If I have schach, she'ena gavoyin asara tvachim, if it's not higher than 10 tvachim from the ground, it's possible, because it's got to be on top of the 10 tvachim of halal, just like the sukkah, which is too big, is talking about schach, lemala from the esrim up. So now that we've derived that, back to our Gemara, who says that we're talking about the halal, that the ear space of the sukkah is 10 tvachim, besides the schach, which is in addition? Maybe it includes the schach. We learned this from Beis Elamim, from the Beis HaMikdash. What does it say in the Beis HaMikdash? Jachsif. V'abayis HaShemban HaMelech Shloimoi LaHashem. This is the Beis HaMikdash that Shlomo HaMelech built, the first Beis HaMikdash. What does it say in the Pasuk? That the length was 60 amas, and the width was 20 amas, and the height was 30 amas. Now, we're not talking about the whole Beis HaMikdash in its entirety. That was much, much, much larger. We're really referring only to the portion of the Beis HaMikdash from the Heichal and in, which means the Heichal together with the Kodesh Kadoshim. You remember, once again, the end of Masechtas Yuma, we split it, and the Heichal itself is 40 amos, the Amatraxon was 1 amma, and the Kodesh Kadoshim was 20 amos. It's really 61 altogether. The reason why the Pasuk only refers to the 60, because we're not including the walls, we're only including the airspace. So therefore, 40 plus 20, you have 60, and the height was 30 amma koin. Okay, great. Uksiv, I have another pasuk. Koimas akruvo echad eser ba'ama b'chein akruv asheni. Same thing. Now, these kruvim that the pasuk is referring to here in Oizvav, which is in Malachim, these are not the kruvim that we have in the Torah. The kruvim that we have in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu were affixed to the top of the kaporis. That kaporis that we've been talking about the whole morning, that the thickness was one tefach, affixed to the top of the kaporis, you had these two kruvim sticking out and going up higher and higher. And that's why whenever you see pictures of the oroin, and you always see on top of the oroin, the kruvim which are attached to the kaporis above. These kruvim that we're talking about now in the Torah were special kruvim that Shlomo HaMelech fashioned, manufactured, and these were very large kruvim. They weren't just affixed to the top of the kaporis, but rather they stood on the ground itself. And just to give you an idea of how tall they were, the pasuk says, "Klimas akruva echad esav amma." These were 10 amas tall, like 20 feet tall. Wow! Think to yourself, in the standard West Side apartment, the old apartments, twice the ceilings are 10, 11, 12, 13 feet from the ground. Okay, that's nice and tall, 12 feet, 13 feet. Here we're talking about it was 20 feet from the ground. That was the height of the kruv. These are huge. Same thing applies to the other kruv. V'tanya, we learned in the Braisa. Now we're figuring out the proportion. What was the size of the kruv compared to the height of the Beis HaMikdash? That's the height of the Heichal. We just got finished saying that the height of the Heichal was 30 amos kaimosai, 30 amos in the height. We just got finished saying that the kruv was 10 amos in the height. So therefore, the height of the kruv was 1/3. So please put yourselves on mute. We're hearing some noise here in the background. So says the Gemara, just like we find that the Kruv in the Beis Midrash was one third of the height of the Hechel, this went up to 10 Amos, and the actual height of the Hechel was 30 Amos. Mishkanami Kruvim Bishlish Abayis Ein Oimdim. By the Mishkan as well, the Kruvim that were on the top of the Oroin were also went up to the third of the height of the Bayis. Well, what does that mean? Mishkan Kamahava, what was the height of the Mishkan? The Torah doesn't tell us what the height of the Mishkan was, but what the Torah does tell us, the height of the Kroshim. And the Kroshim, of course, were the beams that were the infrastructure, those were the walls of the Mishkan. And how tall were those? Were Eser Amis. That's it. Eser Amis Oirech HaKoresh, that the length of the Keresh was 10 Amis. And we know that the Kroshim stood. They were Oimdim. That's one of the Pshatim in the Gemara. Oimdim, that they were standing tall, Kederach Kedelasa. So, you have the height of the Keresh, which is 10 Amos. Therefore, how much is that in Tvachim? Kama Havaluhu. 10 Amos converted into Tvachim, since an Amah has 10, as 6 Tvachim. 6 times 10 gets you Shitin Pushchi. Pushchi is the Aramaic word for Tvachim. So I have 60 Tvachim. Tiltze Kama Hava. What's a third of 60? Asrim Pushchi. 20 Tvachim. Aha. We're trying to figure out again where the Kruvim ended in the height of the Mishkan, just like the Kruvim in the height of the Beis Midrash. Okay, so a third of 60 is 20 Tvachim. Dal Asura di Oroin v'Kapoides. The Oroin v'Kapoides, we've already said numerous times this morning, is 10 Tvachim tall. So now, if you take the total of 20 Tvachim, you subtract 10 Tvachim, Pashalu Asura, then you're left with 10 Tvachim. Ah, so therefore from the Kapoides until the top of the Kruvim, the head of the Kruvim, would be 10 Tvachim tall. Uksim is in the Bible, yeah, Kruvim Parsi Chanafai Lamala, Soichiv V'chanfeim Ala Kapoides. Ah, so what the Gemara is telling us is now, we're starting from the ground, we're going upwards. The first 10 Tvachim from the ground, that's the Oroin and the Kapoides. Attached to the Kapoides we had the two Kruvim sticking out. Those Kruvim until the wings through the head was another 10 Tvachim. Because we just said now that the Kruvim in the Mishkan were just like the Kruvim in the Beis Hamikdash, was one third. One third means it was 20 Tvachim from the ground. So the height then of the Kruvim was 10 Tvachim. On top of that 10 Tvachim, you had the Parsich and Afayim. You had the wings extending even further upwards above those 10 or 20 Tvachim. And that's called Soichichen. It's called Schach. Ah, so what do I see from that? Says the Gemara, Kari Rachmona Schocha L'mala Mi'asora. The Torah is referring to the Parsich and Afayim of the Kruvim, that these were extending even above the rest of the Kruvim, and therefore this is the Schach above the 10 Tvachim of the size of the Kruvim. And from this we learn that when you're talking about the size of the that the Schach by a Sukkah has to be Lamala Mechalola Shel Sukkah, above the 10 Tvachim of the Halal of the open air space, we learn it from the Kenafayim of the Kruvim that was above the 10 ear space occupied by the bodies of the Kruvim. Frey Timur, Mimaydi Kotfinu, Ili Rashayu Kaimi, Dumulahadi Rashayu Kaimi. Who says that you take the Kenafayim of the Kruvim and have them extend above the heads of the Kruvim and then say, oh, so you see, that's the Soichich and that's the Schach above the body of the Kruvim, which is 10 Tvachim. Maybe in fact, the height of the wings was exactly the same as the height of the heads itself. They didn't go upwards vertically, but they went stretched out horizontally from the heads. And therefore, we're back to square one. Maybe, in fact, the size of the sukkah of 10 Tvachim includes the schach, not in addition to the schach. Just like we see by the Kruvim, maybe the Kruvim included the wingspan, not that the wingspan was above the Kruvim. Rav Acha bar Yaakov lemalaksiv. Since the pasuk used the expression "vayekruvim parisach nafayim lemala," lemala means that it was higher than the Kruvim. Freiti Mara ve'emi de midli tufa. Who says that it was only up a little bit above? Maybe in fact it was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, tvachim above the rest of the kruvim, and in fact, if that's the case, so maybe the schach has to be even higher than halal asara. Maybe there has to be a halal of 10, 12, 15, and on top of that, they have the schach. Says Yomar Miksev Lamal Lamala. It only says one time Lamala. It doesn't say multiple Lamalas. Since it only says one time Lamala, it cannot mean that it's Midli Tuva. Abisala, a little bit higher, but not much, much higher. The Gemara could have answered similar to before, Tfasta Merubalei Tfasta, but here we're not trying to find so much the Shiur, and we just want to find out the concept of the Schach being Lamala, and therefore, how do you know it's only a little bit Lamala? Maybe it's a lot Lamala. Says Yomar, because of the fact it only says Lamala once. Now this whole Cheshvan that we started off with, that the Oroin was 10 Tvachim, and it was 9 plus 1, that's all based on an Ichwara Mei, the Amar Kol Amei, so you be 9 Yais, that the Amma that we're talking about over here was your normal middle-sized Amma, which was 6 Tvachim. Why do we call these Beinoini Yais? After all, as we'll see in a moment, that the Amas were generally considered to be either 5 Tvachim or 6 Tvachim. So 6 wouldn't seem to be a Beinoni, that would seem to be the maximum. So Rashi tells us, reminds us what we learned back in Masechtas Pesachim, that when you came into the Beis HaMikdash, in front of the first Pesach, there was on top of the Pesach a tzura, a picture of Shushan Habira. And therefore that lishka, that entranceway, got the name of Shushan Habira. And it says inside that chamber, inside that opening, after you went in, there were two amis means that there were two measuring sticks, like a measuring yard. But here they weren't yards, but it was a measuring stick of an amma. And one was a little bit larger than the other. And in fact, the Gemara tells us that one was chatzi etzpa, a half an etzpa larger than the 6 tvachim of your regular amma. And the second makil was in fact a full etzpa, larger than that of Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Gemara says, why did they have to have these longer amos? For purposes of purchasing the supplies for the Beis HaMikdash. That if you were talking to your supplier and you wanted to make sure that you got the amount that you needed, then you measured it with the larger amos so that you knew for sure that you'd get an amos worth and you wouldn't get anything less than that. Anyways, from that we see that in fact it was a slightly larger amma than just 6 tvachim. There was 6 tvachim plus. Ah, so says Yomar, that's called an amma beninis. And therefore, talking about 6 tvachim, so then the cheshvin stimmed that since the orin was amma v'chetzi koimasoi, amma v'chetzi is 9 tvachim, and then the tefach of the kapoitis is 10. And the beauty of the amma shel binyan shisha tvachim. Vishal Kalim Chamisha. The Kalim, meaning the Klei Sharis, was only 5. Oy, 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 Michael Maimer. What would be the Cheshvin now? On the Kapodis Kamahava, how much would Kamahava Luhu, how much would that be? Tamanu Palga would be 8.5. Why would that be 8.5? Because putting aside the Kapodis for a moment, just talking about the Orain, since it's an Amma Vachetzi, if an Amma is 5, so that's 1, that's 5, and then half of 5 is 2.5. So 5 and 2.5 is 7.5. You add the tefach of the kapoitis is 8.5. And since you're telling me that the kruvim go all the way up to 20, like we said before, so 20 minus 8.5, poshlu chad sreyu palga, then I have 11.5 remaining. Kum tchois, maybe according to Yehuda, the height of a sukkah, which we learned from the height of the oren and the kapoitis, instead of being 10. Maybe you should go and say it's 11.5 because we're learning it from the Kruvim, which were lamala higher than the Oroin and the Kapoitis. Maybe it should be 11.5 is the minimum. So Rabbi Huda learns the shear of the 10 Tvachim not from the Oroin, but he learns it based on Alocha L'Moshmi Sinai. What's this Alocha L'Moshmi Sinai? The Amr Pchir Barashi, Amr Rav, Shi'urin, Chatzitzin, Umachitzin halacha l'Moshe miSinai. The shiurim that we have typically throughout Shas and throughout halacha, whether you're talking about a kezayis, whether you're talking about a kebeya, whether you're talking about other shiurim, we typically learn halacha l'Moshe miSinai, as well as this shiur that the size or the height of a sukkah has to be a minimum of 10 tvachim, and we learn it halacha l'Moshe miSinai. Frank Dimar, Shiurin, and what a chatzitza and a mechitzin. We'll talk about that more in tomorrow's daf, what a chatzitza is, like when you go to the mikveh, and mechitzin, the size of a mechitza for various purposes. You're saying those are Shiurin, are halacha mechitzinai, Shiurin deraisin eno, dechsiv, eretz chitus, oire gefetein, evrimain, eretz zei, shem advash, v'yamar of chanin, kol apasik azel, shiurin nemar. Every word in this pasik comes to tell you a shiur, the first one being chitel beis hamenuga detnan, etc., etc. Miyat Hashem will continue learning about this halacha Moshe Sinai and the various shiurim that I learned from Eretz Chitas Oira and Miyat Hashem tomorrow. The bottom line for today, we see that the height of the sukkah was or has to be a minimum of 10 tefachim, and we learn it from the Aroin or from the Kruvim on top, like we just learned in the Gemara. Yes, Barry, I see you have a question.
Why do we